It's so cool to be with you guys. I love Creekside. Ann and I just love being here. And you hear that all the time from me. Maybe every time I'm here, I say the exact same words, that we love Creekside. But it's true. It makes our heart feel good when we're here with y'all. You know, I think it's special. You guys, I think Creekside's a special church. I think God has established you guys here for a significant purpose in this community, and it just excites me to be here and to see your faces and to think about what God's has done and is doing with you guys. So thank you for inviting me to be able to share with you from the Word today. My name's Alan Bryant. I think maybe most of y'all know me, maybe you don't, but Alan and Ann, A&A, as Ann says, we're Aggies, so, you know, Alan and Ann, so, cool. Yeah, from Albania, you know, so, Ann's foot's healing up okay. We're going to be here another 6 weeks or so, and then we're planning on heading back to Albania after that. We're not sure how long we'll stay, still not sure what time God has for us, but we are planning on going back right around the first of May, and looking forward to seeing our friends over there and just getting back in it. Okay, today we're going to one of the hardest things for me when I ask the preach like this is, what passage do I preach on? You know, it's really easier if you kind of are taking a book or something and you say, okay, preach on these verses right here. And Dean says, just preach on anything you want to, Alan. He didn't want me to preach on John. He's kind of holding John to himself, I guess. He started John, right? Is that right? Okay, so he's kind of keeping that to himself. All right. So I am going to talk with y'all or speak from Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 41. It's a story of when Jesus calmed the storm. Okay, was in the boat with the disciples, and he calmed the storm. We probably all have heard it. We probably all have know about it. I think it speaks to us, okay? And I also think it has a connection with what Dean's talking about in John, or John's theme. You know, Jesus is life, and life is found in Jesus. And if we are going to commit our lives, if we're going to align our life, or if we're going to find life in Jesus, that it's important that we know something about Him. Okay? And so, you know, as I think about this, if I'm going to walk with Jesus, if I'm going to align with Jesus, the first question is, who is this guy? All right? I hear about him, and maybe some of you are new in the faith. Maybe some of you are not connected with Jesus yet, but you hear about him. Who is this guy Jesus? And then if I connect my life to him, can I trust him? Is he trustworthy? And you know, for it's a question that Ann and I ask a lot. We're going to give up a career here, we're going to go to Albania and work. Is Jesus trustworthy? Is he going to take care of us? You know, am I going to find out at the end of the time that our 13, 14, 15 years in Albania were purposeful? Can he be trusted? And I think Mark speaks to this issue. His whole book speaks to this issue, okay? Jesus can be trusted, okay? Because he is the most powerful being in existence. There is not another being in existence anywhere more powerful than Jesus. Okay, so he can be trusted. And there's not another being in existence that is more loving than Jesus. Now, we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we'll put all three of those into the Godhead. Okay, in the Godhead, there is not another person more powerful. There is not another person more loving, more selfless than Jesus. So he can be trusted. And that's what Mark wants us to understand. This guy's got the juice, okay? And he loves you. And he'll use it to save you. And this story helps us see this. You know, it's important. It's important, America, for us to understand this. America's becoming more and more anti-Christian. All right? You self-identify as a Christian. Some parts of this country, you're going to be ridiculed. You may not be able to find a job. You may be ostracized because you take a stand for Christ. It can be risky. Not seriously risky, but it can. I mean, not yet. Okay? But America's becoming more and more and more anti-Christian. And we need to understand that this guy that we follow, Jesus, he can be trusted. Okay? And for, you know, church planning's hard. It's hard business. You guys have, it's just not easy. I don't think it is. I don't know what you guys think. Okay? I'm tired. It seems like, you know, we try to grow the church. We try to do this. We're not making headway. You know, is this worth it? Can he be trusted in what we're doing? The reason that we're called, and it's important for us to understand this. And this microphone and me, you're not really getting along very well. I'm sorry. All right, so I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go to the other side." Now they're in Galilee, up in the northwestern part of the Sea of Galilee. Okay, and he's been teaching about the kingdom there. All right, and then that day he says to the disciples, "Come on, let's get in the boat and go to the other side." So when they had left the multitude, they took him in the boat as he was, and other little boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why is it that you're so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So I want us to see four things here, okay, about the power of Jesus. The first thing is the real life power of Jesus. Okay, the second thing is the supremacy of the power of Jesus. The third thing is the unimaginableness. It's not a word, okay? Uncomprehendableness of the power of Jesus. And the fourth and final is the selfless love of the power of Jesus. So let's think about the real life power of Jesus. Notice in this passage, this is different. There's in Matthew and Luke, there's a parallel passage. But Mark focuses on details. All right, he says, on the same day when evening had come, okay, they left the multitude. They took him in the boat as he was. Maybe that means where he was standing, where he was sitting, the way he was dressed, okay? There were other little boats with him. He was asleep on the pillow in the stern. Mark emphasizes details. In Matthew and Luke, it's kind of like, hey, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They got in a boat and went. All right? But Mark focuses on the details. And I think what he's trying to say here, there's a couple of takeaways from us. Okay? This is an eyewitness account. It's a real life description. It's a description of an event that happened. It's not like a parable that says, like, hey, the kingdom of God is like a couple of men that got in a boat and went to the other side and a storm arose and they cried out to God and God stopped the storm. Okay, that's what the kingdom of God is like. This is a real life event, and that's the emphasis of that Mark is making here. Okay, it's not a made-up story. It's not just a parable with a moral. All right? And the second thing is that the stress, I think, is on real life. Okay? Life as it is, life as we live it. Now, do you know what a deist is? You know, we're not deist. And a deist is a person, I think Thomas Jefferson was a deist, okay? But a deist is a person that says God's up there, right? And He's God. And He's in control, right? There's not another being more powerful than God. But what He did is He created, and then He kind of set things in motion, and He sat back like this, and He's just watching life unfold according to the principles of nature or the rules of nature. He doesn't intervene in our lives. And I think Mark wants us to understand that, hey, God, Jesus, intervenes in a real life circumstance. Okay? He can speak into our lives. So you might be going through some kind of storm. There may be an issue in our life. We're going to go to Albania. Anne's got her foot to deal with, right? Maybe you've got an issue in your family. Maybe there's an issue at work. Will Jesus, does He care about this? And I think the principle here is, yes, He does, and He can speak into it. You know, Dallas Willard says that the kingdom of God is the omnipresence, the ever-present and the all-powerful God at work in real life. That's the kingdom of God. Okay? You know, I've got a saying that I use a lot over in Albania. It's the kingdom of God is never in trouble. The kingdom of God is never in trouble. If you listen, you say, you know, over at the church over there, I'd say the kingdom of God, everybody says, is never in trouble. You know, and sometimes our kingdom's in trouble. It is. We do things that are stupid or we get sick or something. Our kingdom is in trouble. But the kingdom of God is never in trouble. And Mark wants us to understand is that the kingdom of God that's never in trouble can and will invade our kingdom for our benefit. Okay? To help us. That He can be relied upon. It's interesting. Not interesting. But Deuteronomy 31:6. God says, be strong, or Moses is talking to Israel. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, the nations around them. For the Lord, Yahweh, your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you because He goes with us. We're not deists. He goes with us. He acts on our behalf. All right. In Hebrews 13:6, it's the same thing. It's a quote. It says, the Lord is my helper. God says He's going to go with you always. The Lord is our helper. Whom shall I fear? Okay. What can man do to me? Because the Lord, Jesus, who acts in real time, in real life, goes with us. And man can't do anything with us because His kingdom is never in trouble. So I think the first thing Mark wants us to see is the real life power of Jesus. Jesus speaks into our lives today that we live. The second thing is the supremacy or the unsurpassability of the power of Jesus. This is a huge storm. Mark says, a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat and it began to fill up. It was a huge storm. Now remember, these people were seamen. They were fishermen. They spent their lives out there on the Sea of Galilee. All right. So for Mark, you know, maybe Peter was relaying this to Mark. For Peter, through Mark, to say this is a huge storm. It was a big, scary storm. All right? And, you know, it's interesting. Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out form and void. Okay? And darkness... Let me read it. I'm sorry. Okay. He says, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. All right? Jesus spoke, and the waters were calm. Okay? God spoke. He said, let there be light. Let there be a division between the waters. You know, let the earth go in there. He tamed the waters in the beginning. There, and when he did it here in Mark, there was no residual wave. You guys have been to the beach, I'm sure, right? When there's been a storm and there's been a lot of wind, and you know, you go to bed at night and there's all this turmoil going on, the waves pounding, and then it clears up, but you still look out and the waves are still, you know, the waves are still recovering. When Jesus spoke, the wind stopped, the rain stopped, the storm stopped, and the sea calmed immediately. And it's interesting, Jesus didn't say, what did he say? He just got up and said, peace, be still. Okay, and it stopped. All right? He didn't say, in the name of Moses, you know, I call calmness upon the sea. In the name of this person, I beseech you, be still. He just speaks to the sea and boom, calm. See, Jesus, he didn't call upon a higher power. What we see here is Jesus is power. All right, I think this is very significant. He is power. He's stronger than the sea. He's stronger than any other being in existence. He is power. So I think Mark emphasizes the supremacy or the greatness of the power of Jesus. You know, so what does that say to us? And this is significant for me personally, okay? I can either have the storm, okay? Or I can have security in Jesus. But if I have security in Jesus, then I lose control. All right? Because Jesus is more powerful than I am. So I can choose the storm or I can choose Jesus. But when I submit to Jesus, when I choose Jesus, then I acknowledge that He is power. And I lose control. You understand what I'm saying or not? You know, this last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about a verse I learned when I was in the age of some of these young people over here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Okay? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And I've been thinking about what it means to walk, to be led by the Spirit. Okay? And He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Okay? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll guide you. All right. But Lord, I kind of like to lean on my own understanding a little bit. I'm 64 years old. I've got some life experience. I know how this stuff works. Okay? And Lord, this really doesn't make sense to me for me to go this direction. So you know what? I'm just going to go this direction. And God says, okay, Alan, there wasn't a storm over here. It looked like there were clouds and stuff like that and some thunder and lightning. But we were going to get through it just fine over here. That's your way. You know, so I think the first thing I've got to do is I've got to realize, Lord, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge who You are. Okay? I'm going to in my life, I'm going to rely upon that. I'm going to follow You, even though it may seem that things are not, you know, it may not be easy. So, because Jesus' power is stronger than any other power in existence. So, real life power, the greatness of the supremacy of the power of Jesus, and now I think Mark emphasizes the unimaginable incomprehensibility of the power of Jesus. Now look at the disciples, their reaction. It's like Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful? How is he no afraid?" And they feared exceedingly. You know, they were more afraid of Jesus than they were of the storm. They saw this guy, and they saw what he did, and they're like, "We've gotten in the boat with this man? I mean, what's he going to do? Where is he going to lead us?" And going back to the thing with Genesis, all right, they immediately had to think about creation. When the waters were on the face of the earth and the Spirit of God hovered around them, and then God spoke and it became organized. It calmed. They knew, and this I think this is Mark's emphasis in his book, that this man Jesus is Yahweh. He is the creator of all creation. He speaks, Jesus, this man, he speaks, and creation obeys. Jesus is not a shaman. You know what a shaman is? He's not a witch doctor. All right? He's not somebody I go to, right, and I try to manipulate, to talk to the spirit somewhere to do good for me or to bring blessing upon me. He is God Himself. You know, and he's not just, this means that he's not just a little bit stronger than the storm. It means he's significantly stronger than the storm. You know, when Ephesians 3:20, you know, "For him that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think," that's who Jesus is. Okay? We can't even begin to imagine the strength of his power. Job says, when he talks about creation in Job chapter 26, it's a cool chapter, okay? He says, you know, we just hear a whisper from creation. We see what God can do, and we just hear, that's just a whisper. Creation, okay? Imagine if he screamed. These are just the edges of the way. We're just looking at the fringe of what God can do. And I think this is what the disciples, they feared him. We're in the boat with this guy. It's kind of scary. You know, what does this say to us about salvation from the storms of life? What does it say? I think it says, look, that salvation is only in Jesus, because there's no one stronger than Jesus. Right? You can go to another God to seek salvation, but you're not secure from Jesus, because he's stronger than all of them. All right? And Jesus says it's about faith. You know, the only requirement is faith. I can't manipulate him. You know, it's just strange to me that people think that, you know, why good works work? You know, why is it that I can do enough to merit an audience with the creator of the universe? It doesn't make sense to me logically. All right? I can't do enough. There's nothing I can do. The only way that I can have an audience with the creator of the universe is if he allows it. Right? And he says, trust in me and you can have access into my kingdom. Only through faith in Jesus. And then lastly, the last point is the selfless love of Jesus. So Jesus is real life power that's greater than anything, and not only just a little bit greater, but immensely greater than anything. But this conversation is interesting to me. They said, "Hey, Jesus, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" I used to lay in bed sometimes when my second son was in university. Hope we're not recording this, okay? And Luke doesn't listen to it. And I would pray, and nothing would happen. And I would pray, and nothing, his life wouldn't change. And I would pray, and I would say, "Are you not listening? Or if you're listening, do you not care? Lord, I'm talking to you about this young man. Have you ever done that? Or am I the only one that's done something like that? Okay. Do you not care? What do I need to do? Tell me what I need to do. Do I need to pray, you know, get on my knees a certain way? Do I need to pray a certain length? What do I need to do to get you to listen to me? And I think that's what the disciples, do you not care that we're perishing? And Jesus says, he calms it, peace. It's a reasonable, to me, it's kind of a reasonable response to Jesus. Like, hey, dude, we're dying here. Do you not care that we're dying? All right. And Jesus says, why are you so fearful? Do you not have any faith? And to me, that kind of seems like an unreasonable response to the disciples. You know, we would tell our kids, oh, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Everything's going to work out. You know, all things work together for good for them that love Him. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. All right? And Jesus says, what are you afraid of? Do you not have any faith? Like, Lord, I'm trying, but look at the storm. All right? You know, if Jesus is big enough to be mad at because of the storm, okay? Lord, why are you not listening to what I say? All right? I'm kind of mad at you right now because I got a problem and you're not listening to me. If he's big enough to be mad at, then he's big enough to have reasons for me to go through the storm. Does that make sense, what I said? And so, you know, and a lot of people say, I'm not going to believe in God because he doesn't act the way that I want him to act. Maybe Stephen Hawkins. I don't know. I don't want to, you know. But he kind of probably was mad at God. You know, if he's big enough for you to be mad at, then he's big enough to deal with things in ways that you can't imagine. You know, in this story, and for us, what we need to do then is we need to focus on we need to try to understand the love of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, before he talks about God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, he prays that we would know the love of Christ, which, what does he say? He says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. You know, God loves us. Jesus loves us. And as we begin to come to grips with that, then we can have faith in Him as we pass through the storm, that He's got a reason, that He cares about us, that we're not in this storm just because He's mad at us or because He doesn't care about us, but He's got a reason for us to be in the storm. And, you know, this story points to a bigger story. It points to Jonah. I'm sure that when people read this, they thought about what happened to Jonah. Jonah points to the cross. You know, there is a storm coming. There's a storm that exists, and we're just on the edges of the storm. It's the judgment of God, and we experience the judgment of God right now because we live in a world that's fallen, and we get sick, and we have issues, and we see evil around us. Okay? That's a sign or a tell that there's some serious judgment that's coming on. Romans chapter 2 says that, you know, you don't think that God withholding judgment, you know, isn't for a purpose, you know, so that to lead men to repentance. That we know there's a storm on the way, and we can tell because we're on the edges of it, right? And when that storm comes, it's going to be bad. All right? How bad? I can't describe it. Okay? But the judgment of God is serious. And Jesus, the most powerful person in existence, the one that can speak to the sea and say, "Be still," the only human that could avoid the storm, what does he do? He throws himself into the storm on our behalf. The selfless love of the power of Jesus. And when Jesus, through the cross, gives his life, all right, it calms the storm for us. We are reconciled with God because of the love of Christ. He gave himself for us. And Mark wants us to see that. He implies it here. Okay? He talks about the love of Jesus here. Jesus was in the boat with them. All right? "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He was in the boat with them. All right? Later on, Mark teaches us that, you know, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And I think Mark's whole theme is this person, Jesus, all right, he is God, and he loves you enough that he's going to serve you through giving his life for you so that you can be saved from the impending storm, the judgment of God for sin. You know, we all have a choice. That's one of the cool things about Christianity, I think, is that whoever wants to have a connection with Christ can, with Jesus can, through faith. All you have to do is trust. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Have you no faith? He wants us to have a relationship with him through faith. And sometimes we think about life, you know, we trust Christ and our life in the future is secure. I've got eternal life into the future. But Jesus says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm available for you today to help you pass through the storms of life." We need to trust him. That's what he says. So what does faith look like? What does faith look like for us today? What does it look like for Creekside Bible Church? Right. You don't want, I don't think you do, I don't, for Ann and I, all right, to get to the end of the time and him to say, "Creekside Bible Church, why do you not have any faith? You know, things got tough, Lord. They were really, you don't understand, you know, the east side of I-45, you know, in South Montgomery County. You don't understand it, you know." He says, "Why did you not have any faith? Lord, you don't know what it's like to live without lights. You know, you don't know what it's like to leave your family behind and go off to Albania. You don't know what it's like." Right? It's like, "Alan, why didn't you have any faith? You know, why were you always had 1 foot in Albania and 1 foot in America? All right? You didn't have any faith. Trust in me. If things are tough, I'm here. I care about you. I will provide what you need to help go through the storm." And he doesn't promise that we're going to have a stormless life, okay? But he promises us that he's going to deliver us through the storm. What should I fear? What can man do to me? So what does it look like? And I think faith is personal. And let me tell you what I mean by this. I don't think it means it has to do with me and not us. All right? Do we all believe that God, Jesus, is strong enough to divide the Red Sea? Yeah. He's strong enough to do it. I believe that. Okay. But do I believe enough to walk into the Red Sea? It's personal. We believe in a project, okay? Yeah, God can do that. I believe that, right? But I don't want to experience it. All right? I believe it for you. I don't believe it for me. I think faith is personal. Personal. That He's talking to us. He's talking to Alan, but He's talking to us. I may need you to do some things, Creekside. All right? And yeah, we believe you can help us, Lord. Okay, well, do it. Step into the Red Sea. You know, when He went to Moses, He said, Lord, what's going to go on? He says, what are you talking to me for? Just start walking. It's interesting to me. Just start walking. Go. It's going to be fine. And it requires 100% submission on His terms. Faith does. All right? You know, when we were going to go to the mission field, I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere except to the Muslim world. I'm not going to go to the Muslim world. Right? We ended up kind of in the Muslim world. Okay? But I wanted to still contain control over my life. And Jesus is calling for 100% submission on His terms. You know, and we're not guaranteed if we do that we're going to have a stormless life. But we are guaranteed that He is going to deliver us through the storm. So I think what Mark wants us to understand, what I hope, and to me this is important, okay? I was telling Dean, I don't know why this is so important to me. Jesus somehow, some way, has taken the identity of Yahweh. All right? So when He's the Lord your God, He is the Lord our God, He is God of creation. And there is no power on earth, in heaven, anywhere that is stronger than Him. None. And there is no being at the same time that is more loving than Jesus, that cares more about the other than Jesus. So you put those two things together, and that's the God we serve. All right? That's the God we're in the boat with. So when a storm arises, He may want us to go through the storm. Right? But He wants us to trust Him, that He loves us enough, that He has a purpose for us, and that He's going to give us what it takes to make it through the storm. Okay? So real life is found only in Jesus. All right? In Him was life, and life was the light of the world. And the call is, give your life to Jesus. Okay? Align, find life in Him. Set aside your life and find life in Jesus. Okay, let me pray for us. And then we got another song, I think, Caleb. Lord God, thank You so much that You have given us Your Word, Lord, that we can trust it, we can read it, we can be assured that it's true. And Lord, You didn't have us in those boats with the apostles, but they've given testimony to us, Father God, that Jesus, You delivered them. You spoke and the sea was calm. And so help us to grab hold of that. Help me to grab hold of that, God. Help me to live a life that embraces the fact that Jesus, You are stronger than anybody, and there's nothing in this world that can touch me because I'm with You. Help Creekside, help these friends here, help me, help Ann, our family, to grasp that, Lord. And we thank You so much that You made a way into Your presence possible through Your death on the cross for us. We are grateful for that, Lord Jesus, and we praise Your name. Amen. Thank You.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.